sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies. Welcome to episode 51 of The Gamesman. We are live on GamerCorporation.com via Ustream.tv this Thursday, January the 20th, 2011. The Gamesmen are here to play roles. I am Lifelike, assuming the role of your host. And tonight we're here to celebrate a little game, actually a little big game, Little Big Planet, PS3 exclusive. In honor of the recent release of Little Big Planet 2. And with me is Acid B.
Hey, how's everyone doing? So who else is here?
Well, nobody. It's just you and I. That's it.
Well, we can get to know each other better.
Yeah,
than
it's kind of intimate, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your mother.
Oh, God. With my real one or my wife?
Let's start with the real one.
No, let's not.
Oh, okay.
Let's avoid it altogether. So what's new with you, my friend?
Not a whole heck of a lot. Spent the last weekend being sick with a fever.
Yeah, you were pretty bad, huh?
Yeah, that was fun. I still got a cough I'm working through. And I don't know, you know, just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, a little bit of Left 4 Dead 2 still, and, you know, some StarCraft 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just keeping myself busy. I thought I was going to play a ton of games when I was feeling sick, but, you know, when you have a fever, the only thing you feel like doing is lying down.
I know.
I even looked at the little controller over there. I was like, it's not that much work to just pick it up. But I don't feel like moving.
It's work to get vertical at that point.
Yeah.
I know. I can't believe that I haven't caught it yet.
Well, I'm not sure I caught whatever it is that's actually going around, man. When I told them I was sick, they're like, oh, man, did you get that throat thing? I'm like, no, I had a fever. Why?
There's some nasty stuff going around.
Yeah, there are. There are, I get, apparently, yeah.
Actually, my big ass has been going to the gym for the last 3 weeks.
Hmm.
Yeah, maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. I've completely changed. 2011 is going to be a new year for me. I've decided.
Oh, have you?
Yeah. Oh. Man, I've been modifying. It's a couple of smart waters, 2 protein bars during the day. That's about it. Some whole oats for breakfast and, you know, like a banana. And then I come home and I eat what I want. So better than fast food all the time because, you know, you never have any time. So you're always running through somewhere and blah, 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 blah. So... I actually had some fast food tonight for the first time in like 3 weeks, and God, did it taste good. Oh my God. But, you know, back to it tomorrow.
If you space it right, it does taste good. Yeah. I've been trying to alter my diet, you know, less red meats, not trying to take as much food as I normally do, stuff like that, but it's still rough to cut fast food out of the diet.
It is difficult. Yeah. What I've been doing is if I do go to like, if I go anywhere, I'll go to Wendy's, you know, I'll get like a chicken sandwich and a baked potato. And I'll tell you what, it's really rekindled my love for baked potatoes. Mm. Man.
I do like a good baked potato though.
Oh yeah. And the thing is, even with cheese and bacon or something like that, it's still better for you than those French fries.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, true.
You know, but, I never thought I'd be talking like this, but anyway, this is a show about games and tech. So, what we have for you tonight, and I guess we should kind of explain that we're recording. We're actually pre-recording this week. We said we are live on Gamer Corporation, but we're not. We were, but Ustream was being a bit of a bear, and bandwidth was apparently at a premium tonight for some reason. And so we decided to just cut the show off from GamerCorp, and we are pre-recording this one for you guys. So we're going to treat it like it's a live show. There's still going to be gaming Rorschachs that we'll post in the show notes that we would normally do at the breaks. And I think with that, that's about enough explanation, and you can get to the featured music, sir.
Yeah, look at all those comments in the comments box over there in the on the site.
Oh, yeah.
We're all from our previous live attempt.
Yeah.
Yay. We'll keep pointing them out throughout our recording.
Yeah, exactly.
Today's featured music for episode 51 is from Little Big Planet, in honor of the recent release of Little Big Planet 2. The wiki states that Little Big Planet, commonly abbreviated LBP, is a puzzle platformer game centered around user-generated content for the PlayStation 3 and was released on October 2008. It was developed under the title The Next Big Thing by Media Molecule and was published by Sony Computer Entertainment Europe. Many saw the game as an important title for Sony's PlayStation 3. The game revolves around the player's control of a small character known as a Sackboy or Sackgirl or gender-neutral Sackperson. owing to their appearance in a variety of platforming scenarios. Though the game features a set of pre-built levels for the player to explore, the game's customizable nature is equally important, from altering the player's character and personal space to building entirely new objects and levels and then sharing them and playing them online with the Little Big Planet community. Amazon.com lists the game new for around now $15. Courtesy of the Daniel Pemberton TV Orchestra, the opening was Leaders of Men. The first interlude will be a horny old man.
Yeah.
Okay. The second interlude will be Cries in the Wind, probably from or caused by the horny old man. The
horny old man, yeah.
And the outro will be Girly Goody Two Shoes.
She's probably the one that blew the whistle on the horny old man. Thank you very much, sir.
Probably a good idea that she did that.
The music from Little Big Planet's pretty quirky. I think everybody's going to enjoy it. It's really, really good music.
Okay.
All right. So we have some email. Yes, we have two emails here. And I am going to take the first one because it's short, sweet, and to the point. And you can take the next one since people love to hear the sultry tones of Mr. Acidby.
Oh, yes. My wonderful monotone voice. I'm a regular Ben Stein.
There you go. All right, this one says, Steve and company, just a quick note to say that the award show was bloody brilliant. From the Mass Effect 2 intro track to the slurry tail end, good job all around. My request for 2011 is more of the original beard. His understated dry wit had me laughing my knacks off. All the best for the new year, Rich Skullduggerer. So thanks, Skull. Appreciate it. We had a blast on that Game of the Year show.
Yeah, it looks like you guys were having a really good time.
Yeah, that was the first time, obviously, we had a studio audience, and that was really cool.
Yeah,
man.
It seemed like it was fun. I probably should have drank more to put myself in the center yeah. of things.
Note to self for next year, huh?
Yeah. You just buy more alcohol and drink it for no reason.
Well, thanks a lot, Skullduggerer. You can check him out at theoverseasconnection.net as well. So go ahead and take that next one.
Okay. Our next one is from Mr. Bobby Gooding. Hey, guys. Bobby Gooding here. I've come along carrying my 60-foot-high PC gaming banner again. I just wondered whether you guys think we'll see more games being played on the PC this year. The thought first entered my mind when I overheard somebody talking about PC games on the bus, which was rather shocking. Well, all right, he did go on to mention he was playing Black Ops on the PC, but he was halfway there, right? Yeah, I'd say right, and it still counts. It still counts.
It does count.
I went on to think about all the big titles the PC is getting in 2011. There's Shogun 2, Darkspore, Diablo 3,
yeah.
The Witcher 2,
yeah.
The Sims Medieval, and
no.
Fingers Crossed, The Old Republic. Yes, Fingers Crossed, The Old Republic. Mm. All right. All of these should turn a few heads, as well as the more general games like Mass Effect 3, Skyrim, and Portal 2. I have some things I want to say about Portal 2.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Multi-format titles, but all very suited to the PC. Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Add to that more accessibly priced hardware, even more cheap software with digital distribution having 365-day-a-year sales, and simple awesomeness of playing your games on a real grown-up computer. It started to sound quite pleasant, I think. But what about you? Your thoughts? Say PC's gaming dead and you'll be just that yourselves. Take it easy, fellows, and keep up the good stuff that you do oh so well. Oh, and I forgot something. Ironhammers.org. See, I'm pimping. I can pimp myself. Thank you, Bobby.
Yes, thanks, Bobby. What do you think, sir? PC gaming dead?
No, I don't think PC gaming is dead. I think it's been alive. It's just shrunk a little bit. But, you know, Steam has always been there. Everybody loves Steam. Keep in mind, you know, we also had StarCraft II this year, which is just a huge title on the PC itself. And I don't think that stopped anybody from going and getting it. So, no, I think PC gaming's alive and well.
Yeah.
It's just matured. We've cut out some of the fat.
And Cataclysm. Cataclysm's a huge one, you know.
Yep. Cataclysm's huge. I mean, you know, if we look at, you know, we've got a lot more casual gaming coming up, you know, in PC game world and all that. So we have a lot more casual games coming up, but we cut out a lot of the middle work, I think. You know, there's not quite as many games. Well, I don't know. Just go look at Steam. We'll see how many games are
yeah.
are not as AAA as they used to be, but, you know.
Valve single-handedly, I think, saved PC gaming. That's where I have to go with that.
I'm not sure about single-handedly saved, but they've definitely done one thing. They've carried a torch into the next age.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and you feel comfortable when you buy from them. You don't think your games are going to be gone or you're going to be missing them forever. And, you know, they're taking digital distribution on. They said, you know, this is where gaming is going, and they led the way, and they did it well.
And according to Valve, I mean, I guess to everybody else, when you digitally distribute software, you don't charge retail price for it.
Well,
okay. I mean, that's the lesson everybody should learn.
On any of their sales, yes. I totally agree, but any of the new stuff that's coming out, they're charging you the same price that anybody else is. But no, I agree. Man. I mean, that's my philosophy, right? We're cutting out the fact that you don't have to put it in a box, you don't have to put it on a disc, you don't have to put it on a store shelf. All that saves you money.
Exactly.
So why don't you pass those savings on to the customer and make them more willing to drop down some cash for your title?
The profits would be tenfold, I think. There is a little tidbit about Portal 2, huh?
Yes, Portal 2. I had something I wanted to say about that, and I was really excited about it coming out. There was all this talk about what other platforms it might show up on, but I was just going to run straight to Steam and pre-order it on Steam. I think I have, after their announcement this week, I think I've changed my mind. I think I'm going to pre-order it for the PlayStation 3.
Me too. Me too.
Because I still get my PC copy.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And that's the whole thing. Is now I'll have it on the PlayStation 3, and we can see how it looks on the PlayStation 3, play it. If others get it on the PlayStation 3, I can play it with them. But the best part is I don't have to play it on the PlayStation 3 to play with them.
Exactly.
I can play it on my PC.
Yep. So now we can play with Bobby. Now we can play with Zerum Wing. We can, you know what I mean? Like all these times, like, except for, you know, just the original Lost Planet, I think was, you know, one of the last ones to actually go cross platform like that, you know, between the 360 and the PC. But,
right.
Man.
And free updates from Valve.
Yeah.
And free, you know, you become part of the Steam community, even though you're part of the PlayStation Network. And, oh, it's just, It's a good way to do that, and I just love the fact that, you know, they have Steam Play with it. So it's like, yes, you have your PlayStation 3 version, but you also have your PC version or your Mac version.
Well, and this is a monumental change in the manner of thinking and the paradigm of what Valve is used to.
Yeah, that's true.
It's huge.
And, you know, the fact that they would go out after the consoles, too, was a step we weren't sure they were going to go for. But when they made that move to Sony, it looks like they've made a few mandates about how things will happen that Sony wasn't letting them doing it. Or, I'm sorry, Microsoft wasn't letting them.
Apparently, yeah.
You know, because it would have been easier for them, I think, to do cross-platform play with a Xbox versus the PC.
Exactly.
But not the way Microsoft does it. I mean, it's Xbox Live only people playing with Xbox Live only people. And it was just sad to see that. And then, you know, no free updates, you know. So even though Steam was rolling out the passing the sacrifice for free to PC players, Xbox 360 players were still up a creek. They had to go pay for it.
Yeah. I mean, you would think something like this could be the great equalizer, but also with the PS3 becoming a bit of a security risk, I don't know. I mean, this whole thing could be up in the air and could be in jeopardy too. But
could be.
Could be.
I don't think so, but we'll save that for later.
Exactly. That is coming up in a bit. But yeah, PC gaming not dead. PC gaming is going to have a pretty robust year, I think. And I think we have a year ahead of us that is going to see a lot of great software, period.
I agree.
So, all right, sir, before we get to the break, how about some shout-outs?
Shout-outs to our wonderful community.
Yeah.
All of you that showed up in the chat room. All of you who are still there waiting on the next live show. Shout-outs to my friends Rabid and Folly for teaching me some of the ropes of StarCraft 2 and playing some multiplayer stuff with me.
Nice.
Shout out to my buddies that I play Left 4 Dead 2 with. Thank you for still playing. You know, that's awesome. And shout outs to the makers of NyQuil for helping me through those nights when my body didn't want to let me sleep.
That's a pretty slow week if you're shouting out NyQuil.
Oh yeah, it was slow.
Oh man. Well, as far as me, first off, I want to shout out everybody that showed up for the Game of the Year show a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. That was just fantastic. I had such a great time. I'd love to do that. And actually, Einsam Asil, who was there, he had mentioned to me this past week over the phone. He said, if you need a place to ever do your live shows, you need a lot of room and stuff. He said, more than willing to have everybody over to my place and we can do them there. So it's nice to see that people enjoy the show and that it's growing. I'm really, really happy about that.
Cool.
I wanted to shout out Excalibur for some Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light online co-op we played. And, man, it really makes me want an isometric, dungeon-crawling, loot-whoring game.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's really good, man. It makes me want Diablo so bad.
By the way, you going to go for the HD hookup with the trilogy that they're releasing in March?
Maybe. That's a possibility. I'm not sure. It all depends on what they do with it. I'm going to kind of keep an ear to the ground as far as that goes.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like they're doing anything extraordinary with it, but you know, it's going to be, I bought all three of them on the PC and I'm starting to sit there wondering if I should have bought them on another console, but I'm like, well, all three of them are coming out on the PlayStation 3. Might as well just do that.
Yeah, just wait and grab the whole thing.
Yep.
Let's see. Well, next was Nomtrier, Kozigan, and Andromel for some Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Had some good time playing some Need for Speed on the PS3.
Yeah.
I wanted to shout out the Rickster. He sent me the elusive, well, not the elusive, but an elusive sport truck for the Gran Turismo 5 sport truck race.
Mm.
Those sport trucks are hard to find, sir, in the used lots, let me tell you. And there's really only one race, the Sport Trucks Cup, like the Sport Cup series that you need it for. So he mailed it off to me. I mailed it back to him a few days later, and it is on to the next person. So it's nice to have like a community, something like that, you know, like a community truck to send around to everybody to get their gold medals. Yeah.
Cool. So I also hear Excalibur's like going to Hawaii or something like that.
Yeah, he should be actually in Hawaii right now, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, he was leaving today. Yeah. Yeah. I hate the beach and it's still better than snowy southwestern Pennsylvania right now.
It's I've been to Hawaii once or twice, and it's beautiful out there, but it can be pricey. So So he's going just to visit, right?
Yeah, he's going to visit a buddy of his and actually maybe working for him while he's there. And if he likes it, he might just get hired on there and stay. So, yeah, could be all right.
I'm not. I mean,
could be all right.
Excalibur is one of our own, so I kind of want to wish him well, but I don't want to wish him that well that he.
Exactly.
that he's actually out there living it up. It's like. I think if he comes back and goes, man, it just didn't work out, I'd be like, oh.
What's funny, I think he bought every single, you know, like notable release on the PSP before he left. Like he borrowed my my Peace Walker, and he took the first God of War, which he was halfway through, and he bought the second God of War. I can't remember. He bought a couple other games that he's going to take with him. That's all he'll be able to play while he's down there. So he is excited to come home and get to some Dead Space 2. I know that.
Yeah, there's plenty. So. I mean, if he hasn't played much on the PSP, there's plenty.
Oh, yeah.
There's plenty to you know, fill your pockets with and go do out there.
I think he got
there.
Crisis Core, too, I want to say.
I think so. I think that's what he mentioned last time. So
Yeah. All right. So VGHub.net, Velocity Gamers Hub. You need to go there. If you enjoy this show, there is a ton of content there for you. We have Airborne Gamer, and that's airbornegamer.com. We have the BGM show, which I guested on a couple of weeks ago. Actually, maybe it's closer to a month now, but that's the background music show. We have Gaming for the Elderly, which is a great community. Most of the people are in their 30s and 40s, but you have to be 18 to join. So, you know, you can go over there. Gaming for the Elderly, G4TE.com. We have ironhammers.org, which Bobby was, we got the email from him. We have the Play Vault, and that is at theplayvault.com. We have pushstart.co.uk, Theme Xbox, and the Veteran Gamers at veterangamers.co.uk. So there's enough there for everybody to find something.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, nice little variety. Also, GamerCorporation.com, which we were live on via a poorly running Ustream.tv. It was awful.
Yeah,
oh, God.
It was pretty bad.
But everybody involved with GamerCorp, shout out to you. So that's about it. Like I said, you can check our show notes for the Rorschachs that would normally go right here in the first interlude that you are going to hear from Little Big Planet. And we will come back on the other side to play RPG or role-playing game. So we will see you in a few moments.
Cool.
are back from the break, and it is time to play RPG or role-playing game. Yeah, I know. It's exciting to get back to it. I'm pumped, actually. For those of you that don't know, RPG consists of some cleverly crafted questions from the news, from the gaming sphere, and formed into a question. A role is assigned to the person that the question is asked to, and they should play out that role in answering that said question. So, without further ado, the gamesmen are here to play roles, and that's what we do. So, random encounter number one is for Acidby, and it is entitled Falling Out of Favor. This one comes to us from Gamasutra.com. Fallout owner Bethesda Softworks argued in a Tuesday court filing that terms of a Fallout MMO licensing agreement with Interplay are clear-cut, and reaffirmed that Interplay cannot use any assets related to the Fallout universe outside of the name Fallout. Bethesda, developer of Fallout 3, contended that there is no other license included in the deal and that any Fallout-branded MMO made by Interplay cannot feature any assets from the established Fallout universe, such as characters, settings, or storylines. Interplay later called Bethesda's interpretation of the agreement, quote-unquote, absurd. Interplay also asked the court for the opportunity to, quote, present evidence to show the party's intent with regard to the meaning of the term Fallout-branded MMOG, end quote, a term not clearly defined in the licensing agreement, Interplay alleged. So you, sir, Mr. Acidby, are Interplay. If you if you truly are restrained by these supposed terms, just exactly what game are you allowed to develop?
Not one that would make Bethesda unhappy, that's for sure. No, I mean, you know, if we can't use storyline elements, I mean, being restricted from characters, even settings, that's the one that's really the really restraint.
Yes.
If we can't use existing storylines and we can't use existing characters, fine. I mean, the Fallout universe is big enough that we can go to some other corner of the world, or even just the United States. But the fact that you can't use the settings, it's ridiculous. I mean, it takes all of the Fallout out of Fallout. You know, what are we going to use then? You know, I mean, how restrictive is that to say setting? Are we gonna? Can we say a post-apocalyptic world?
And that's the thing. So let me ask you, Interplay. Does storyline include the great Fallout of 2077? I mean, does it include that?
Yeah, I would assume so. That, you know, it includes our pre-established storyline in the first two games, including the history leading up to the first two or the first game. I would assume that that's what they're referring to in the storylines. On top of that, just settings. I mean, you know, post-apocalyptic world. Well, that means then we can't use settings near California or Nevada or even Washington now. So they're trying to tie our hands severely by removing all these aspects from what we're able to create.
Exactly.
Essentially, the Fallout that we would tag on there wouldn't have any association with the other games. We couldn't do that. We couldn't have vaults and, you know, other aspects that just make the Fallout world so familiar.
I mean, it's almost like the same thing as, okay, I want you to make me spaghetti, okay? But you're not allowed to use tomato sauce, tomato paste, or virgin olive oil or anything. You have noodles, and that's all you get to make.
Well, I would even equate it to the fact of, you're not asking me to make spaghetti. I want to make spaghetti. And I go to the store to pick up all the elements, and you're sitting there going, no, you can't buy that. You can't buy that either.
That's a better analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, we're looking to make the Fallout MMO, and yeah, we were going to use aspects of at least settings and storylines. you know, we may keep it independent from characters completely.
Well, the setting isn't really the killer. Because, I mean, you think about it, you could maybe do, as far as an MMO, I'm sure you could use Europe, you know, and use different cities and things like that as progression.
Right, but the question is, I mean, you know, familiar setting. So how far does the word setting go? I mean, can we still make it post-apocalyptic?
Yeah.
And you're right, we could go to some other corner of the world, but when we remove the aspect of vaults from the settings of Fallout, do we still have Fallout, you know?
But if I'm Interplay, what I would argue is that is, and it's going to come down to probably just a matter of semantics, that is situational.
Yeah.
And situational is not agreed upon in the interpretation.
True.
So situation, maybe they can get away with situation, possibly. But storylines, I mean, maybe storylines only covers the storyline in Fallout 3 and the storyline in Fallout New Vegas.
It's possible, but it sounds like what Bethesda is going for is, no, we bought the Fallout franchise, so that includes Fallout 1 and Fallout 2.
Yeah.
You know, we bought the storyline and the elements and the, you know, all the intellectual property around it. And that's the grab Bethesda is going for, is that, you know, we bought the intellectual property. All these people retained, you know, all Interplay retained was the ability to make a game with the word Fallout stamped on it.
Exactly.
You know, an MMO with the word Fallout stamped on it. They didn't retain anything else. I mean, I agree with the assessment of even, you know, as I'm playing Interplay, but, you know, with the assessment that it's completely absurd. But it's open to interpretation, unfortunately, and that's why it's still a legal battle.
No, and if I was Interplay, I would completely stand my ground, because I think there is some ground to be made up as far as that goes.
I agree, and I think, you know, anybody that ever read, you know, our agreement when we sold this stuff off to Bethesda was under the complete understanding that when we said we were going to make a Fallout MMO, that meant in the Fallout universe that we had established, and, you know, they knew that, you know, we could retain the rights to do so, but Bethesda is obviously trying to make a grab for it. And the thing I can't really figure out is why.
Yeah. That is the question that is puzzling everyone.
As a third-party outsider, this is not Interplay, right? What is Bethesda's game?
I don't know.
Right? You know, they've made two games based on the Fallout universe. They're doing very well at making a single-player-based game running on their engines, you know, and I don't see them. I really don't see them making a run for that MMO market. And I haven't seen them make a run for, I mean, Skyrim's not supposed to be an MMO, right?
There's words both ways. I don't know.
Right, well, I'm guessing that they're trying to implement some multiplayer, but I don't see it being an MMO.
Yeah.
And I don't see them creating that many MMO worlds and running with it in their big major franchises. I see them staying in the single-player market for the most part,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially when they bought this and they knew this. I don't see why they're making a big deal over this whole...
I was just going to say that I think that it may have more to do with Bethesda's perception of maybe ineptitude on Interplay's part.
Yeah.
As far as a massively multiplayer game. And with the death of APB and, you know, with the Old Republic on the horizon, maybe they're just trying to come up with a clever way to get out of that deal and to have that game not bomb and maybe not be a liability to Bethesda, period, overall.
Okay, I can see that. I would also look at it from the point of, you know, understand that Interplay made a deal with the devil to save themselves.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? You know, they desperately needed the money, so they sold the franchise. And they held on to one little key aspect of the franchise. Bethesda makes a game that's awesome, and now they're a little upset that they're riding on their coattails and saying, hey, we're going to make an MMO and make even more money off of it now that some other company has gone and saved the day with our own intellectual property.
Exactly. And that sounds to me like a level. Yeah. tell you what, man. I did not peg Bethesda for some Activision-level shit.
Listen, when you're dealing with companies over a certain size, I don't put anything.
I guess.
I don't put anything past companies anymore.
I guess.
I don't know why we treat them like individuals when they're truly greedy corporate entities.
Yeah, a collective. Yeah.
Right? You know, but they do these petty things all the time, you know. Oh, no, money involved. Yeah. Lawsuits.
That's taking it to the extreme. But anyway, go ahead with random encounter number two, sir.
Random encounter number two. This one is for Mr. Lifelike.
Yes.
And it is entitled Experiencing Difficulties. This is from Tom's Hardware. Trade sources have revealed that Sony plans to announce the PSP 2 in Tokyo on January 27th. That would be 7 days from now.
Yes.
At this point, the PSP 2 reveal won't be much of a surprise. We've seen enough bits and pieces to know that the device does in fact exist. However, the big shocker is that Sony's new handheld gaming unit will be formally introduced just weeks before Sony Ericsson supposedly pulls out the PlayStation phone, Xperia Play.
Yeah.
In front of a captive audience at the Mobile World Congress event on February 14th through the 17th. Even more curious is that Sony is choosing to end the end of January rather than waiting for E3 this June, or even the Developer Game Conference 2011 kicking off on February 28th to reveal the new device. You, Mr. Lifelike, or Sony? Your mobile devices are the absolute worst-kept secrets in the industry. Are you waiting out the details on the Nintendo 3DS or simply getting out of the path of the iPad 2?
I am Sony. So, yeah, this does take a little bit of a different line of thought, you know, a little bit of thinking different outside of the box that normal people probably thinking.
Right.
I would have to say probably a big part of it was waiting out the Nintendo 3DS to try to see what the price point of the 3DS was going to be, simply because of the fact now that we know that the 3DS is going to be $250 here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
$250 was not well received as a price for the PSP Go, if you remember correctly.
No, it was not.
Yeah. So, Sony is not above taking a loss on initial sales of the hardware. So, I'm pretty sure that a lot of it was 3DS jockeying. But to tell you the honest-to-God truth, the iPad 2 is more of a competitor to us than I think people would like to believe, and maybe even ourselves we would like to believe at this point. Mm. You can see by the PSP phone, by the Sony Xperia, the Ericsson Xperia, that
right.
Obviously Android and bite-sized gaming, you know, PS1 classics, PSP minis, things like that are important to us because that's the way that the mobile market is beginning to shift.
Mm-hmm.
So now as me, and I know I'm not the only one, first off, I don't understand why we need a PlayStation phone and we need a PSP 2.
Yeah.
I cannot figure out why they're not the same device. I don't know. It drives me up a wall. I don't get it. But it makes me think, why do I need a PlayStation phone then? What's the point?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't get it. But I think being out of the way of the iPad 2, I got a funny feeling iPad 2 is going to be 3D.
Really?
I got a funny feeling iPad 2 is going to be 3D. Yeah. And I think the PSP 2 is not going to be, unless they've taken it back to the drawing board. And there's no way that it's been taken back to the drawing board, because if it were, it would actually be unveiled at a gaming convention and not at some point in January, a month after Christmas.
Well, do you think the iPad 2, let me ask, do you think the iPad 2 is going to ride on the coattails of Nintendo 3DS's technology in that it will be able to do 3D without the need of glasses?
I think so, yeah.
You think so?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
you know, I thought it was, I always thought it was curious that PlayStation is leading the way in 3D entertainment on the consoles.
Yes.
But in the handheld market, it's exactly the opposite. It's Nintendo. And by exactly the opposite, I mean the stuff that's still on last generation video technology and their Wii, you know, is now, they've now got dual screen unit that can do 3D without glasses, which is just leaps and bounds beyond what we can experience on the television.
Exactly. I mean, so we all know that timing is everything, and Sony is really not that great at timing.
Right.
So, I don't know. And like we said, we've known the PSP 2 exists for a while. We've known the PlayStation phone exists for a while. At this point, I don't see anything else that Sony could be waiting for except for, you know, details and how to position themselves in the market going forward, because they've been burnt in the past by just, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, marketing analyst failure or, you know, I don't know what it is. It's, you know, maybe focus group failure. Maybe they selected the wrong people for the, you know, the wrong vertical slice for the, for a focus group. I don't know.
It's possible. Yeah. Maybe
it's puzzling
or
to
they,
me.
Or they fail to include the Western market when they test devices.
Well, that's true. You know? That's true. I mean, that could definitely be. But I mean, maybe, I think maybe it might be a little bit of both. I mean, you know, waiting on numbers and getting out of the path of the iPad too, because, you know, the first iPad has been such a behemoth that an iPad 2 could completely steamroll anything that Sony puts out in the handheld market.
I think to a degree, I'd have to agree with you. The PSP 2 is just something that's interesting. I mean, we don't know all of its capabilities yet, even though we know it exists and we know what it looks like. You know, if they had told us, well, it's 3D capable, but you need to wear glasses, you then have to ask yourself, why would I do that?
Yeah.
You know, over the 3DS, which I could use that doesn't need it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's an interesting position, but it sounds to me, sir, like you have reached a level up.
I haven't leveled up in a long time, man.
No, you haven't. You're the one that's usually watching everybody else level up.
I know. I love it.
You're the guy that's sicking all the monsters on us. Actually,
yeah, it's a little bit different being on the other end of the spectrum. Yeah. All right. Well, that is two random encounters out of the way, and it is time for the boss battle. The boss battle is from Gamasutra.com, and it is for both of us in components. So the first part of the boss battle is for Asapi.
Bring it on.
Sony Computer Entertainment of America alleged in a proposal for temporary restraining order filed Tuesday for that defendant Fail Overflow, a quote-unquote hacking group, laid the groundwork for George Hotz or GeoHot to unlawfully gain access to a critical level of the PS3 system in December. The crux of Sony's argument is that the hackers who distributed the workaround on the internet are enabling software piracy and violating federal copyright law, including the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. You, sir, are a legal analyst. Does Sony actually have grounds for litigation against a console owner's activities, especially post-purchase?
Whew. This is a big one.
Yeah.
In truth, this can go either way. I personally side with GeoHot and the guys at you know, well, maybe not Fail Overflow, but GeoHot at least, in that he owns the device. He purchased it. He's free to do what he wants with it. Sony doesn't still own the device anymore. He's the one that owns it, so he can hack it, poke around inside of it, and they put their stuff out there on that console. So if it's reverse engineered without him betraying any internal Sony secrets that he was privy to from Sony, then I don't see that they have ground. But the Digital Millennium Copyright Act is worded in such a way that Sony could still have a legal leg to stand on to go after him.
Or at least through interpretation.
At least through interpretation, yes.
Okay, so what about this conundrum? Because this is something that makes me think, and I don't know the answer to this because it's been a long time since I've really checked the documentation inside the boxes of my consoles that mm-hmm. I've purchased. Is there an end-user license agreement to a console as well?
I don't know if it includes the hardware, though.
That's what I want to know.
There's definitely, I believe there's definitely an EULA for the use of the software.
Yeah.
And there's an EULA for use of the PlayStation Network.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So, which is part of what they're getting all up in arms about.
Yes.
And with people having the ability to be able to hack the console and do things that you wouldn't normally be able to do, meaning the the security's broken.
Yes.
They have to resort to Microsoft's game, right?
Yeah.
Which is, you hack the console, you're not supposed to be on the PlayStation Network, this is our network, we do have the right to kick you and your hardware off our network, see ya.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's exactly the hammer they need to start swinging. But as far as the software go, again, it's hardware. This whole thing started when he wanted more access to hardware on the device.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
He wanted more access to the GPU. He did that through other OS.
Yeah.
Right?
Originally, I think, what was that, a year ago or something like that? I think there was something, I had read something then about somehow allocating memory and having full rewrite access to that memory, okay? And then deallocating it, and then the hypervisor thinks that whatever is on that section of that memory is true, equals one, no matter what, while he still had full read-write access to it.
Right. And he did that through the other OS option, which was part of the console.
Yes. I mean, and for those of you that don't know what the hypervisor is, it is sort of the in-between for software and hardware interaction.
Yes. Yeah. And, and he wanted more access to the GPU inside the PlayStation unit, which Sony had kind of closed off.
Yeah.
Because it was one of their major things that they used to draw all the pretty graphics in their games.
Boy, closing off that other OS was probably one of the stupidest decisions that they made.
They did.
In hindsight.
In hindsight, it really is.
Yeah.
Because that's all he wanted, right?
Yeah.
You know, he wanted to be able to use the hardware, and other OS gave you the ability to do that. Sony immediately sees that he's hacking the hardware. Again, he's just hacking the GPU. There's not much that he can do with just the GPU.
Yeah.
Right? He just wants to be able to draw nice things on the screen using Linux and make it fast.
Yeah.
Right? And that's all he wanted to do.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, just personally, as an aside, I'm sort of kind of in Sony's camp on this one. Only because of the fact that this kid did not... I mean, and, you know, this is the kid that originally hacked the iPhone, that jailbroke the iPhone. You know, at 21 years old, this kid has a free ride to, I think, Rochester Institute of Technology. You know, the kid is a smart kid. Mm-hmm. But the only reason he's doing this, he's only doing it to see if he can get away with it. And now he's actually jailbroken and hacked so many machines that now all he wants is the internet celebrity of accomplishing this stuff. And I don't care if he says that he's not endorsing piracy at all.
Right.
What does he think it's going to lead to?
Yeah, there is some good questions about that, and I was going to try to hopefully just make my way around to that.
Yeah.
I think some of that is ego, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah,
you know,
a lot
some
of
that
it.
Is, a lot some of that is ego for him to say, they can try to yank the carpet out from under me, but I'm going to show them that their unhackable console is hackable.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna get what I want back. And he stands on a platform, and I agree with the platform that he stands on. Is that, you know, Sony took away something that made their console useful to me, you know, and I wanted it back. And that's all I did. Right? But he put all that stuff out there, and you're right. What was he going to think?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
What are people going to think? What are people going to use it for?
Exactly.
And truth is, they're going to misuse it.
So why don't we get to the second part of the boss battle, sir?
Second part is for you, Mr. Lifelike.
Yes.
Questions over jurisdiction slowed down a trial brought by Sony against the hacker George Geohot-Hotz over his alleged publication of the root key necessary to run unapproved code on the PlayStation 3. In a 20-minute hearing reported by Wired, U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston wondered aloud why the case was being held in her California court and not in Hotz's home state of New Jersey, where he performed the hack. Sony attorney James Gilliland Jr. argued that Hotz's use of technology from California-based business Twitter and Facebook to distribute the hack key gave justified jurisdiction in the California court. Ilston seemed skeptical of this argument, saying that it would in fact make the entire universe subject to my jurisdiction. You are Sony. Why the decision to pursue legalities in a different court system other than New Jersey?
Mr. Murphy's Law and I were discussing this thoroughly over the last week or so, and
yeah,
I guess if I am Sony, the biggest thing is first off, I'm on my home turf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if I can come up with any reason to stay on my home turf, where I have the support of my peers, where I have the support of judges, because they have the well-being of the region in mind, and I am bringing in revenue mm-hmm. to support the well-being of that region, I am on my home turf. Okay, first off. Second off, if I'm Sony, the only reason that I'm calling out Twitter and Facebook is that maybe at some point, if I'm successful in litigation with Mr. Geohot, that I may go after Twitter and Facebook for being the platform in which the root key was publicized.
Interesting. I totally understand the home field advantage that you're running on. That makes complete sense to me, actually. Yeah. That's where I was thinking, you know. Everything's run out of Silicon Valley out there.
Exactly.
And I'm sitting right next door to my best buddies who all think the same thing about this horrible tragedy that's been averted against me.
It's a travesty.
Right.
Yeah. Well, okay, and just think of how difficult it would be for Mr. Hotz to get from Jersey to California, California back to Jersey, and even maybe there's a little unfamiliarity with California law as opposed to New Jersey law.
Right.
You see, because this is, I mean, I think it's still a federal case, but it's a civil suit. So at that point, my question is personally, not as Sony, but as me, is, okay, we're already seeing that the district judge, the U.S. district judge, is wishy-washy and wondering why this case is in her court. Okay.
Right.
So obviously, first off, she doesn't even want to rule on it. Okay.
Mm.
Second off, is there, and I am unfamiliar with law on this level, are we getting into a double jeopardy situation where if they happen to try him in California and lose, they can't go back and try him again in New Jersey?
Yeah, they wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
They could appeal.
Yeah, exactly.
But
is this smart on Sony's part? I don't know. I mean, it seems like taking a risk, and it seems like it's going to be all or nothing. I mean, if you beat him and you beat his attorneys, then you maybe get the chance to go after two big technologies that you know have a lot of money in Twitter and Facebook.
True.
But if you lose, you may be on the losing end of the stick. You get nothing out of the deal. You spend a ton of money on litigation, and plus, you lose everything that your console stands for.
Yeah. Personally, I would question the sanity of going after Twitter and Facebook for distribution platforms.
I agree, but stranger things have happened.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I can't forgo the money factor, right?
Yeah,
you know, they sue Geohot and they win. What are they going to get?
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
I mean,
well, I mean, it'll be a cease and desist, and that'll be it. But
well, right,
the thing is,
but
the
I
damage
mean,
is already done.
But even if they manage to sue him, right? You know, like, you know, he owes them millions of dollars. Even if they manage to do that, how quickly are they going to get their money?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, talk about one man who's going to be paying it out over the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And I can see the need to say, okay, well, now I need to go after bigger fish so that I can get my money.
Exactly. All right, sir, so let's get to the killing blow. I'm going to stay this beast off a bit and hand you the sword to give the killing blow. And it is from GamaSutra.com as well, and it reads as this. Developer, Infinity Ward has warned players of the PS3 versions of Call of Duty 4 and Modern Warfare 2 that the recent key level hack to the PS3 has opened up the titles to online exploits that can't be fixed with a simple patch. Writing on the developer's official forums, Infinity Ward creative strategist Robert Bowling said that while the company is looking into ways to fix the problem, they may be at the mercy of Sony to correct the broader PS3 hack first. Quote, games rely on the security of the encryption on the platforms they're played on, Bowling writes. Quote, therefore, updates to the game through patches will not resolve this problem completely unless the security exploit itself is resolved on the platform, end quote. You, sir, as the Killing Blow, are a major gaming publisher. If developers are already speaking out about their uneasiness, will the PS3 hack affect your strategy toward the console in the future?
It will affect my strategy towards the console in the future if my target platform was the PS3 only.
Yeah.
Bowling's quote strikes me as a little ignorant.
Exactly. It is a backhanded comment, yes.
Yes.
Very much so.
You know, it's almost there. It's almost like he said that to help support Sony's case.
Yeah.
That what Geohot did is horrible, horrible, horrible. Truth is, these game companies wrote their software on PlayStation 3 security, leaning on the post that security's not going to be broken.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You can't write software for the computer like that. Until just recently, the security was intact, and nobody's ever broken the security on the PlayStation 3. So it was like playing in a private park where all the gates were locked.
Yeah.
Right? Well, somebody just went and used bolt cutters and cut off one of the locks, and now people can just wander in. So now you need to take that extra step when you go to play in that park to have some security watching the gate. And that's just what you have to do. If I was even a major game publisher and somebody said, well, we're going to release this on the PlayStation 3 and I had something just ready to come out, it might affect, you know, whether or not I just want to toss it out there. But
I agree. Yeah.
For stuff that was in development, you know, we have to solve these solutions for PC games anyway.
Yeah.
You know? So my stance is to then say, take the solutions that you're using for the PC, modify them so that they can be put on the PlayStation 3 so that we can verify people aren't cheating.
And there you have it. That sounds to me, sir, like the boss is down.
Yay.
Yeah. You win. Yeah, man, that was a big boss, but, you know, it's something you can't not talk about. And to tell you the honest to God truth, I honestly hope that there is a way that Sony can fix this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am in the camp that as soon as people know that they can pirate software, I think this is going to bolster Sony's console numbers. I really do.
Mm.
This year. So what I would do if I were Sony, I would just leave this whole thing, you know, talk it up, figure out a way to fix it. Even if that includes all of your software up until this point can be pirated, from this point forward, you put your foot down, you stop it, you know, you figure out a different, some different workaround. And if this kid is actually serious about only wanting to do homebrew, run homebrew, you know, things like that, then he won't even go after the new encryption key or the new method of whatever this, you know, this software method.
Yeah, okay.
But let it go till March or April.
Mm-hmm.
And let all these people think, man, I'm going to buy a PlayStation 3 now because I can get some free games.
Mm-hmm.
And then release the fix.
You know, I don't mind the idea of, you know, letting people think that they're going to be being able to get free games. And I'm definitely behind the market of, well, Sony, I guess you need to go secure your network.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Make sure that the people that are cheating are no longer on your network. I mean, you know, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, it specifically says certain devices are allowed to be hacked. One of those specifically named ones are your mobile phone.
Oh, and that was a bad decision. As far as Sony's concerned, that was a horrible, horrible legal victory.
As far as Sony's concerned, I agree.
Yeah.
For me, that's great.
Yeah.
Right? You know, because all of us sitting here with phones that we bought that only work on AT&T because AT&T locked it to their network, we can now legally go jailbreak our phones and say, I want this on T-Mobile or I want this on whatever it is. You know, we have that right, you know, to break that closed system, which, you know, in case you noticed, Apple's completely closed system. You can't get at any of the hardware. You have to buy all of your apps.
Exactly.
Previously, the legality of that was in question. Now it's not. You can jailbreak your phone legally. And there is an argument to be say, well, if you can jailbreak your phone, which is an item that I own that I can carry around in my pocket, why can't I jailbreak my PlayStation 3, which is a device that I paid I only paid $50 more for the console, and it stays at home all day.
Yeah.
Right? You know, it's like, how different is that?
And I think that, you know, it's an understatement to say that this is serious. And I think, you know, everybody needs to know that this is serious. And I think it is going to affect, you know, Sony's bottom line. I really do.
Right.
But, and,
you know, I mean, you know, piracy aside, I don't condone it, but, you know, piracy aside, it's going to happen. I mean, you know, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still feel strongly that I purchased that device. It's mine. Sony can't tell me what I cannot do with it.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
it's going to be interesting to watch, brother. It's going to be interesting to watch. But we better get to the break.
We do.
And,
we better.
We have another track from Little Big Planet for you. And we're going to come back. We're going to involve you with hashtag the Gamesman Check submissions from Twitter. And we're going to do a bit of cleanup and we're going to get the heck out of here because it is getting late and this is the, we're now on 1.5 times of doing this show. So, so we will be right back after the break.
There.
We are back from the break, and it is time to involve you, the community, with your hashtag the Gamesman Check submissions from Twitter. So if you are a new listener, what we ask for every show is for you to let us know what you're playing and tag your tweet, hashtag the Gamesman Check. So that way we know what you're playing and your peers can kind of figure out what you're playing too. So maybe you can get together and have a game or two. So I'll kick this off here. We have Simon D. Ivanoff. He says, hashtag the Gamesman Check, Mass Effect 2 second playthrough, Lost Planet 2 on the PC, and Need for Speed Hot Pursuit shattering your records. that auto-log's great, man. Did you pick up Hot Pursuit yet?
Nope.
Are you planning on it at all or no?
No, not really.
It's pretty good, man. It's pretty good. I'm liking it.
I'm not too worried about good. I just don't have the drive for
the drive. I see what you did there. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Clever, eh?
Good.
Yeah. The drive for racing games.
Yeah.
You know, I think the most I've ever gotten into a racing game is in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's not really racing. That's just see how fast you can.
Yeah,
can
no,
get
not
to.
Too much.
Yeah. Let's try to avoid everything, but make sure you hit the hooker.
Yeah.
Next one is from Hardly Dan, hashtag the Gamesman Check. Not much this week. Minecraft and kicking Excalibur's arse in Need for Speed Hot Pursuit.
It's funny because Excalibur was telling me just the same thing in reverse. That he said, saw Hardly Dan get the best time here. Bow, tore it up. Hardly Dan got the best score here. Bow, tore it up. So maybe maybe he took some back, I guess, at this point.
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's see. Next, we have Einza Masil. He was one of the viewers in the live audience for the Game of the Year show. He says, hashtag the Gamesman Check, just finished, quote-unquote, Batman Arkham Asylum. Busy taking care of the girlfriend, but afterwards we'll do all of the challenges. And he also says, hashtag Gamesman Check, working on pushing myself to stick to my resolution. And if you guys remember from the last show, that was Brutal Legend. And he says, ugh.
Ugh.
You know what? I have it down there, too. And I should play it again, but I'm just glad that I'm not on somebody's podcast on record saying I'm going to finish playing Brutal Legend. Oh, man.
Yeah, we have that on tape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly, for posterity.
Yeah. We will come back to you in December and go, so, how's Brutal Legend?
You are correct.
All right, so we have Foyer Pete Dodd, Demon Souls, Little Big Planet 2, Nier, Mass Effect 2, PC, Mag. There's too much awesomeness in my library right now. Hashtag the Games Project.
Oh man, I wanted to play Mag. Mm-hmm. Only because I got the move wand and the navigational sub controller.
Right.
I wanted to try it out, but I really don't want to spend $30 on it because I don't know how much I'm going to play it. You know, you can download it now off the PSN for $29.99, but
sure.
I don't know. Okay. If I do that, I'd rather take contributions from a bunch of people on a game share and just buy it that way.
Nier's one I was interested in, but at the same time, as I kept reading about it, I'm going, eh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I would say rather than that, at this point, I think I'm leaning more toward, now that it's $20, is Dragon Age Origins Awakening I'm thinking about. Yeah. Didn't want to pay $40 for that.
Right.
All right. We got Iron Hammer 5. He says, hashtag the Gamesman Check, Lost Planet 2. And let's see. He says, yeah, let's see.
Smiley face.
Yeah. Lost Planet 2, frowny face, The Ball, smiley face, and StarCraft 2, four super cheesy smiley faces.
Yeah. And Lost Planet 2 isn't technically a smiley face. It's that kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
Meh.
Exactly.
All right. Skullduggar, hashtag the Gamesman Check, Assassin's Creed, Brotherhood, Blops, HC:SND.
What is that?
I don't know.
Man.
HC:SND.
You got me stumped. I'm stumped. Skull, send us an email and let us know how stupid we are.
Yeah, because we should know what that is.
Yeah, I know.
Metro 2033, Tilt to Live. And Battlefield Bad Company 2 Nam.
Yeah, Vietnam. They've been playing that like crazy.
Yeah.
Him and the Murphy's Law.
I heard from some of the people at work too. They're like, man, I just can't stop playing that. I'm like, well, good, you know.
All right, we got Zerum Wing. He says, hashtag the Games from Check, Just Cause 2, Monday Night Combat, and Worms on Xbox with my neighbor.
That's not. And it's ammed.
Ammed. Yeah. AMD. Which, speaking of AMD, didn't the CEO or something step down because he had a difference of opinion on mobile strategy as opposed to like desktop computing strategy or something? Did I read that right?
No, I don't know. I missed the chip makers announcements a while back.
I'm pretty sure. I think I did see that.
Xbox spelled AWKS. Murphy's Law. Hashtag the Gamesman Check. I have been getting in a little blops.
That doesn't even sound right.
Yeah.
I've been getting in a little blops.
It almost sounds like he's taking something.
There you go.
Your Shape, Fitness, and Forza 3 are really just waiting for the new games to start up.
Yep, it's coming. It is coming. And I guess we end up on mine here. Hashtag the Gamesman Check played Lara Croft in The Guardian of Light, as I said earlier. Some more Lost in Shadow. And finished Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. And my hashtag for that is hashtag Requiescat in Pace.
So you finished, like,
yes,
like quote unquote finished in MSLs or, you know, things, or finished, like
I finished the like, actual campaign
is done, and you've platinumed it.
No. Not even close. I have finished the single player campaign. I've gotten, you know, some of the collectibles, a good chunk of them. I have renovated 100% of Rome. That's done. I have gotten the secret armor, which is like the Romulus armor. And just as an aside, if you're playing Brotherhood and you go through the Prince of Persia style dungeons to get those Romulus keys, you know, kind of like it was in Assassin's Creed 2. If you are not going into your documents and reading those scrolls of Romulus, there's something wrong with you, because there is something contained therein that is, you know, kind of has its hooks into history to a point, and they connect it to something in important Roman history, and it is just the neatest thing. It is the thing that I appreciated the most about Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Huh. Yeah, it is amazing. And the ending, I don't know, like the ramp up to get to the ending is so good. Like the last chapter, or like memory sequence and a half, like half of 8 and all of 9 is so good, and you get to this very end part that they tried to really make cinematic. And it just kind of doesn't work.
Mm.
But still worth playing, because the ramp up to that is so good. So good. You know,
sort of like when the end of Assassin's Creed 2 came up, and you're like, all right. WTF, man.
Well, you know what? But I love that, because it was sort of open to interpretation, and it left your gears grinding for a couple years until the sequel would come out. But this one, And that's something that it kind of amazes me about it, is that both of those DLCs that were the repaired memory sequences for Assassin's Creed 2, it's no wonder that they were cut, because they were pretty bad compared to the rest of the game, okay?
Right.
For them to make two sequences that were that crappy in 2, I can't believe that they made a story that was so meaningless at the same time, but so meaningful. You know, like, it was a storyline that I really appreciated. I was glued to it. But the thing is, in the overall story arc, they could have really ended it in 2 and went straight to 3.
Right.
But now it's sort of fleshed it out. And I think it was written rather well, except for the very last part. And man, I had a blast with it. But Excalibur told me, he said, get all your collectibles before you finish it, because once you finish it, you're not going to want to go back. And he was absolutely correct. So
right. Once you finish Brotherhood?
Yeah.
You don't want to go back? Okay.
Yeah. So it'll probably sit on my shelf until, if it's annualizable now, that there's another sequel that comes out this year, or not a sequel, or maybe a side story. Maybe I'll pick it up just to get pumped about it right before that. Or maybe I'll leave it until 2012 before Assassin's Creed 3 comes out. I don't know. Maybe.
I'll tell you one thing, though, that I am interested in what they'll do with the series. And to be honest, I don't really care what they do with what's his name back in 2012. I want to see some of the other assassins that they've alluded to.
Yeah.
You know, we have some in the Asian Empire around the time of Genghis Khan, and we have some in the Egyptian, you know, Egyptian era, and I want to see some of that, you know?
Well,
I want to see...
You know what? I agree with you.
Yeah.
But to me, I wanted more playing as Desmond with all of the bleeding effect.
Okay.
You know, in present day. That's what I wanted out of Brotherhood, and there wasn't a lot of that unless you decided to go find it yourself.
Right. And my point is, I don't really care what they do with that storyline.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying at some point, I really want to see a modern Assassin's Creed, you know, which is, you know, running on rooftops of New York and, you know, climbing things like that. Even just one that was earlier, you know, previous century, like early 20th century, which is, you know, running around on the roofs of LA or something like that.
And, yeah.
You know, just the old style city.
I want to see that, but I also, and this is what makes me think is I think I'm going to resurrect and finish writing the article series that I did that was, what Assassin's Creed could learn from Eternal Darkness.
Right.
And I'm going to record them, and I'm going to start re-releasing and writing the rest of them now that I know the storyline that, and you know, the, whatever little items have been written in Brotherhood. So now that it's fleshed out, but something that I would like to see would be, you know, like, let's say you have all of those six supposed assassins that were down in the, you know, in the basement, in the underbelly of Monteriggioni there.
Right.
That would be really cool, you know, to find like five or six tombs like that around, you know, around the world. And then you raid the tomb, you get a virtual slice of DNA that you can pop into the Animus 3.0, and all of a sudden you can relive their memories too.
Right.
You know, and you relive their memories to find their apple or their, you know, whatever, however many other apples there were.
Yeah.
And then you go from, you know, from present to past. And as you do that, sort of, you know, in the present, everything's grown over. Things have caved in. You have to find different ways around. But
There's different. I'm with you. Using that span of time to be able to take the same map.
Yeah.
And turn it on its side and, you know, let you experience that same area in two different time zones, you know,
and do what Eternal Darkness did so well, you know. But I guess to get back on track, hashtag the game's been checked. My other one was also grab Demon Souls and 3D Dot Game Heroes for under $30 shipped from the new egg sale this
week. Nice.
Yeah, it's something I always wanted to buy but never wanted to spend the money on, so so yeah, how about you, a live gamesman check here real quick?
Hashtag the game is checked. Still playing Left 4 Dead 2 every now and again. We've moved on to some custom maps and things like that.
Cool.
Like Dead Before Dawn and a few other things. But the original maps are always still the best.
Yeah.
Also, some StarCraft 2.
Yeah, with
the
boys.
Been playing the campaign slowly. Not that I don't want to rush through it. It's just I really only have patience to kind of sit there and make all these decisions about what I want to buy once, and then I can play a map and then be okay with how I did and not want to have to go back and play it again to see if I can do it better. You know, and you know, I'll say, okay, good, and then I'll close it down and come back to it tomorrow or whatever it is. But I'm also playing some online stuff with Robin and Folly and learning how to play against the AI as the Protoss. So
cool. Excellent. All right, man. Well, what do you say we clean this thing up and get out of here?
Okay.
Because it is
it's
late.
Bedtime.
Yes, it is. Web for the week to come, sir.
Web for the week to come. My PSN ID is AcidB. My Xbox Live ID, which I haven't been on in a while, is AcidB0. My Steam ID again is AcidB. Twitter, I'm at AcidB, but I don't do much stuff on it, so
kidding.
I mostly monitor what everybody else says.
As far as me, web for the week to come, JSSLIFELIKE. That's PlayStation Network. That is Xbox Live. That is Twitter. That is Steam. That is Skype. That is Xfire. That is pretty much anywhere that you can find
me. I would love my Xbox Live ID to match the rest of my IDs. But
I know. Pay the money, sir. Yeah. Pay the money, sir.
It's a lot of money just to pay to change your name. And then it's probably already taken.
Yeah, I know. As a little footnote here, I did submit our RSS feed to the MediaFly Gaming Network. Oh. So pretty soon you should be able to see the Gamesman podcast on the Roku streaming media box, which is really cool. Yeah, so I've been playing around with that. And also, revamped GamerCorp site coming soon. Simon has been working on, and we've all been kind of pitching in a little bit, looking and, you know, kind of testing out the various aspects of GamerCorp 2.0. It is sort of almost like a Facebook type of thing. There is a, you know, like you can post on a wall, you can have your own blog, you can add dates to the calendar. There's a whole bunch of stuff. So I've started a blog there with behind the scenes sort of show things that that if you're interested in extra content past the show about the recording and about the live stream and things like that. So yeah, just a little extra thing that takes you about 2 minutes to read, and you know, once every couple weeks or whatever. But and there's various things like that. So also there's a GamerCorp night coming up in early February. Simon has it tentatively scheduled for February 1st, but I kind of would like to see it instead of that Tuesday, maybe that Saturday, so we can get some of the UK brethren involved.
Yep.
I'm thinking either maybe Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, or Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, and maybe we could do it, since it's a GamerCorp night, we can do it on every system.
I'll have to break out the good old Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Yeah.
Have it sitting there. I want to play it, but
I know. I want to play some multiplayer. I haven't done it yet.
I had kind of this temporary goal of having to platinum Prince of Persia first. And I'm sitting there looking at some of the tasks that you have to do, and I'm kind of going, do I really want to spend the time? Do I want
to? Yep.
Cuz one of them's one of them you have to do like a 14 hit combo on a boss.
Yeah, which Prince of Persia, the reboot or the...
The reboot.
I did platinum that. It only takes you about 25 hours, probably, for platinum. Yeah, it's really not that bad.
You have to do that 14-hit combo on the boss, and then you have to do, like, every combo ever.
It's all about YouTube, man.
Yeah, well, obviously.
YouTube and,
I wrote down all the combos, so I have to, like, go through the list and get to something that you can do it early on, because I have to play again now, you know, replay it.
Yeah. I enjoyed that game, though. I really did. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention iTunes reviews. Obviously, we want them. We need them.
Yep.
And, you know, whatever star equivalent that you feel is adequate, we prefer 5, but, you know, be honest. We have one here. I wanted to get a few out of the way. Enjoyable even for casual gamers. And this is from Merkla TL. This is actually my brother-in-law, T. Merklin. You can find him on Twitter as T. Merklin, and I'm pretty sure the gamer tag's the same thing. He says, I do not fall into the hardcore gamer category by any stretch of the imagination, but I've found this podcast to be enjoyable nevertheless. The hosts have a relaxing friendliness with each other and the participants, and consistently find new topics to discuss, even ones that I may not have considered before, such as best music. When they do get into the nitty-gritty of gaming, they do so in a way that lets casual gamers follow along and maybe learn a thing or two. I know I have purchased and or borrowed a few games based on the recommendations and conversations I've heard on this show. Give it a listen. So thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
We have Awesome Show, 5 stars from Yoda the Third. He says, The Gamesman is a weekly podcast of awesomeness. Well, we're not weekly, but it sort of went to 2 weeks, but we got some stuff coming here pretty soon. Mm-hmm. He says, it's a good show to kick back and listen to and watch your jaw hit the floor. These guys really know their stuff, and the host is pretty good as well. Well, thank you.
I think that's the nicest thing he's ever said to you.
I know. That's because this is in a public forum that everybody can see. The whole cast fits together awesome as well. They really merge as a whole. The show is a good thing to listen to for the hardcore and casual gamer. Check it out now. So thank you very much, sir. That's fantastic. And we had one from Cleft5. He says, great show, 5 stars. This is one of the best podcasts out there. If you are into games and want to listen to informed, hilarious people give their take on the gaming industry, then look no further. Take a listen. You won't regret it. So thank you very much, Cleft. That's great. We have one from Murphy's Law 1969. He says, need something different for your gaming podcasts? If you are tired of the same old Come check out The Gamesman. Great podcast gives you topics and deep thought with a unique spin on gaming today. Come give them a listen and find out what role will you play. Yeah.
Pretty cool, huh? He even fit our tagline in the review.
I know. That's a true fan.
He gets points for style.
Oh, man. And we had one more that says, tonight, I am assuming the role of the reviewer, 5 stars, by Kozigan. He says, I've been listening to this podcast for over a year now. It's one of only 2 video games-related podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis. Others just haven't managed to hold my interest the way that these guys do. They're an informed bunch with sometimes strong opinions who seem to manage to play just about every game that gets released between them. On the 360 and PS3 anyway. Less so where the Wii is concerned, though it is by no means ignored. No, it is not.
No. Lifelike will not allow it to be ignored.
No, it will not be ignored. He goes on to say, they have a very well-organized show for the most part. Things can and do go wrong occasionally with a bunch of people who can put across their opinions in a clear and engaging way. Whereas other podcast presenters send me to sleep, these guys keep me interested. I always look forward to the next show. As it's a US-based show, I, being in the UK, generally have to download it after the fact rather than listen to it live, but they welcome the listener contributions through email, Twitter, or Skype on the call-in shows if you're up when they're broadcasting live, so it's not just a passive listening experience. You can play online with the guys, too, as I have. 40 times stunt multiplier, eh, Lifelike? Yeah, you helped me with my 40 times stunt multiplier in Burnout Paradise.
Nice.
He actually says, this is a long review. This is a really thorough review from our good buddy Kozian. He says, I'd like a little more female input at times as it can, to use the American expression, be a bit of a sausage fest. Mm. But that only reflects the real life situation of gaming being a largely male oriented hobby.
Sadly, yes.
Yeah. He says, that's not meant as a complaint, merely an observation of something of a personal preference on my part. Having said that, I've listened to a different podcast presented by 2 women and didn't like it at all. On the 2011 and another great year of podcasts, you can be sure that I'll be there for them. Keep playing those roles, guys. So thank you to all you guys that left.
He also gets points for style, by the way, because he played the role of the reviewer.
Thanks to all of you guys for leaving iTunes reviews. That's fantastic. Those were really great reviews, and we really, really appreciate them. And if you listen to the show and you have an iTunes account, we want you to leave one as well, and we will read it on the show. We would love your iTunes reviews. So, Acid, the last thing, contact info. Oh, you, brother.
Okay. If you would like to contact the Gamesman or leave us a friendly message or a not-so-friendly message, or some Twitter stuff, you can email us at thegamesmanrpg@gmail.com, or you can follow our Twitter account at thegamesmanrpg.
Perfect. That's about it. I think that's going to do it, sir. Thank you very much for your participation and your expertise this evening.
You're welcome.
And thanks for being patient and having to record the show 1.5 times.
Yeah, 1.5 times. I mean, you know, it's not like I had to do it twice.
All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it. Thank you for joining us this week. Oh, man, it is a relief to be finished with the show with all the trouble that it began with. So
let's hope the editing that you have to do afterwards
should be fine.
More friendly.
I'm sure it'll be fine. So on behalf of Mr. Asabi, I am Lifelike. We are the Gamesmen, and until next week, we ask,
what role will you play?
Yeah.
is not fully satisfied with this podcast, please return any portion short of full refund.
So you can run and tell that, homeboy.